camping out in Joshua. And I want you to get your Bibles open, and I want you to, we're going to work through some scripture and through Joshua. I think the Lord showed me this earlier this month, and just for myself, and I've just been diving into it, and I told Dad, I said, hey, you put me in anytime, Coach, come on, I'm ready. So the Lord showed me some beautiful things. I've enjoyed reading through Joshua. And I'm going to be honest, I think I've got like this man crush on Joshua. He is a go-getter. He's aggressive. I like it. I mean, he just ain't playing no game. And Joshua is, the book of Joshua is not a kind-hearted, fluffy, you know, it's all about praising the Lord. It's violent. I mean, it's like Game of Thrones violent. I'm not condoning Game of Thrones, but it's violent. It's aggressive. And that's what I enjoy the passion that Joshua had in being obedient to what God has called him to do. And so what I want to do today is I want us to walk through Joshua for a few minutes and talk about this for a moment. I want to kind of paint a picture of what Joshua was about and through the story of the book of Joshua. So at the beginning of Joshua, basically, he is picking up the mantle of Moses, and he is taking the Israelites into the promised land. Okay, he is leading the charge now. He is leading the way. Moses has passed away, and he has been given the mantle to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And it is an incredible, amazing journey. I want to encourage you to go home even this week after you hear my message today, before the message today. Go home and study up on it again. Read it. Make sure it's lining up with what I'm sharing with you today. Always approve or listen to the word, even with me and my dad preaching. Always go back and make sure it's lining up right. We want to make sure it's lining up with exactly what this word is saying. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want us to pick up in Joshua chapter 1. And if you got your Bibles, read there, or if you're lazy like sometimes I am, read up there, Chapter 1, verse 5, we're going to start there. The Lord is giving instructions to Joshua. I love this. It just always encourages me to read this. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, that still stands to this day. God will never leave us or forsake us. Come on, all we got to do is call his name. Anytime we go through situations, Jesus, take the wheel, because I'm going to take it off and throw it at somebody. Lord, I need you to take it. Hallelujah. Come on. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I love that. Come on. We need to hear that. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And he says it again. Be strong. This time he says, be very courageous. You think it's important that he heard that from the Lord? He goes, I need you to be courageous. I need you to be strong. I need you to be very courageous, because I got plans for you. I've got some amazing things that are about to walk, you're about to walk through. I've got some doors that are going to be open for you, but you got to be bold. You got to have some strength. You got to have some courage. Hallelujah. And he says, where are we at? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Come on, God's given us this amazing book. Come on, he's telling us, don't be turning this. Don't be turning to the right or to the left. You read what this thing is saying. You know, there's a lot of people on the internet right now saying all kinds of things. Come on, anytime you listen to anything, any preaching, any sermon, always go back and really read. And really follow up with what they're trying to say to make sure it really conveys what the word is actually trying to say. Because people manipulate real quick. Come on. Okay. Hallelujah. I strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Oh, come on, meditate on it day and night. Come on, let this word of God be our focus. Come on, let this be our word when we start up in the morning. Let it guide us. Oh, come on, let it. And when we're doing that, when we're putting this thing in, that's what's going to be on our lips. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. He says it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. That is a promise. That is a secure thing where God guides you. He's going to be there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Sometimes it feels like all hell can be breaking loose in our lives. Come on, I tell you, God's right there with us. Hallelujah. He's always there. Now, let me walk you through Joshua. Let me talk you through the story of Joshua. After this, the Lord tells him, okay, it's time. Let's do this. I'm going to skip over a few things in here. But again, I want you to go back and I want you to tie it all in together. Okay? And so Joshua, the Lord tells Joshua, okay, it's time to go. We're going to go into the promised land. We're going to cross the Jordan River. So he gets the priests and the Ark of the Covenant going through all the groups of the Israelites, getting them ready, telling them, hey, we're about to go, we're about to go, we're about to go. Tells the priest to step into the river. And as they stepped into the river stopped. All the Israelites crossed on dry land. Awesome miracle. Everybody is experiencing this. Just a beautiful moment here with Israelites crossing the Jordan River. So then they go into the land of Jericho. And then you hear, we understand the story. We've heard the story a million times. And there's so many awesome sermons just out of just the story of Jericho. We hear that, we know the story, but we'll walk through it again. God gives Joshua strict instructions on how to do this. And he says, this is what I need you to do. You have to be obedient to every word that I'm telling you. Don't veer from the right. Don't veer to the left. Do what I'm telling you to do. Tells Joshua, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your men, and you're going to march around that thing seven times. Six days, one time around every day. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around on the seventh time, seven times, and on that seventh time around, then you're going to do a war cry. And it's going to be incredible. The walls are going to fall down. You're going to walk right into the town, and you're going to have victory. He said, on top of that, here's what we're going to do. So we're going to do the instructions to have, so the walls are going to come down, and you're going to walk right in. Then you're going to kill every living thing in that city. It got violent. Every woman, child, everybody except the spies, or except Rahab, they helped the spies. Okay, go back and read all the story. I'm not going to go in there too much, but that's the only people that survived in Jericho. It said that everybody else obliterated them. All animals, everything. Any gold you keep, any gold that is in there, any silver, do not keep it for yourself. Put it, it's going to go into the temple. So he gave them strict instructions on how to do this. So they began the journey. They began to go around the walls of Jericho. On the seventh day, they go in there seventh time. That seventh time, they do the war cry. The walls come tumbling down, just like the Word of God said. They marched in. They killed everything in the city, except Rahab and her family. Fantastic. Everybody's rejoicing. Fantastic victory. You know, it feels good, you know, when we step out and do something obedient to the Lord, right? It feels fantastic. It feels good. When we're on that journey, going after God, it's very fulfilling. Amen. It is awesome. It's an amazing experience. It feels good. It strengthens us. It gives us an excitement to do it again. I love even with our students going out and helping people and seeing just the opportunity to show the love of God. It excites me to want to do it again and again and again. And the hard work that everybody has to put in to make it happen. Worth it. So then they go to the next town. It's time for the next battle. I don't know how I'm pronouncing it right. AI, okay. And then they get ready. The Lord says, okay, send this group to go and we're going to battle AI. We're going to take them out. They go over there. Well, it turns out a little different this time around. doesn't happen like he's expecting it to happen. See, he's going in there expecting to have to it to be liberated like he did with Jericho. And they go over there, and what happens? Well, they find themselves being defeated. So Joshua does a lot of times like what we do. This is why I like Joshua. He's just real. I love this part. I really do. I got a kick out of this, and I've read it over and over and over and over again. Joshua, so they get defeated, and Joshua does this pity party, sad thing, where he's mourning, he's distraught, he's got the sackcloth, he's ripped his clothes, he's crying and whining, God, why did you put me in this situation? Why did you just, you could have just left us over there on the other side of Jordan, we would never have been defeated. Oh, woe is me. You know, let me tell you something. How many times do we get in our situation when things don't go our way and we start doing this little pity party, just like Joshua did? Oh, and then he starts trying to put the blame on somebody else. Right? Come on. It's not my fault. See, I spent 10 years of my marriage thinking it wasn't my fault. The Lord finally got a hold of me because I kept on saying, woman, it's you need to pray a little harder. Well, 10 years, the Lord finally got a hold of me, and I had to repent, and I've been groveling ever since. So if you ever wonder why I do, they were making fun of me because I do it a lot in front of the pulpit. If you ever wonder why I grovel a lot, it's because of that, okay? I've got some time still. We're going on 19 years of marriage, so I'm still working at it, okay? But we love to blame something else entirely, right? When situations don't go our way. Oh! And you just, poor thing. It's somebody else's fault. This is my bank account. It's so at zero. You're the one who puts credit applications out there on the credit cards. My finances are all messed up. So God's like, this is, I love this scripture. And I got the biggest kick out of it. It's chapter 7. I want you to put it up there. Chapter 7, because I want you to see it. This is God's response to it. It is so funny. I love it. Chapter 7, verse 10. So Joshua is crying and whining. This is what God says. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing? What are you doing? I look down at that because I feel like God tells me that sometimes. What are you doing? What are you moaning and groaning about? And see, the thing is we get so caught up with moaning and groaning and being the self-pity party thing that we are not able to hear what God is actually trying to tell us to actually fix what's happening. Why we're going through some situations that we're going through. Come on. Listen to me. This is the Lord says, listen, what are you doing? It ain't my fault. They're sinning. That's why you're having that failure. That's why you're having that problem. See, I like this because the thing is we love to point fingers and we love to point our hands, point at somebody else all the time when things don't go our way. But instead of looking in the mirror and saying, God, what's going on with this right now? What's happening with my thought process right now? Am I thinking wrong right now in the situation? Do I have fear creeping up leading this thing? Do I have sin in my life? What's going on to cause all these things happening? Come on, amen. Is it an attack of the enemy? What's going on? I need to know because I want to fix whatever the situation is. You didn't call me to sit and waller around in these little self-pity problems, self-pity parties. Play patty cake baker's man with my life and just kind of go at it and cry and moan about every little small thing. Come on, amen. God called me to run a race, and I want to run it. I want to do everything that God's called me to do. Amen? And here's what I love what Joshua does. And this is what I want everybody to hear under the sound of my voice. If you're watching live on TV right now, I want you to hear this. what I like about Joshua, what has just gotten my so much of attention with him, is it says that it was in the evening time when he was crying and moaning and whining. He didn't take a sabbatical. It takes a week, 2-3 weeks off to kind of get things straightened out. It was the next morning. It was the next day because he didn't have time to play around. Well, we don't have time to play around. We don't have time to just wait around and wait for something else to happen, somebody else to fix the situation. Come on, sometimes it's important that we get ourselves situated before the Lord. We get in front of the mirror, God, what's going on? Is there sin in my life? Is there unforgiveness in my life? Is there a situation? I want to deal with it right here, right now. Whatever it takes. Now, here's what Joshua did that I want every one of us to hear. He went immediately. The very next morning, he sought out what was happening. Found out somebody had stolen some gold up in Jericho. Somebody was disobedient. That's right. So now here's what Achan did. He found out who it was. And it was a man named Achan. Now, this is what I want everybody to really hear me on this one, because it's so important that we grab a hold of what Joshua did. I mean, it sounds violent, and it is violent. He pulled Achan out and killed him. But he didn't stop there. See, he killed his entire family. He killed everybody, women, children, everybody, the entire family. The thing is, a lot of times in our lives, the Lord shows us some things in our lives that we need to deal with, and we'd like to kind of skirt around it and just pray a little bit over it instead of really getting in there and weed out those problems in our lives. So you could have just barely scratched the surface until Achan, but he wanted to eradicate the problem. Church, I'm telling you, let me tell you something. We are in a season that we can't be playing around with things. If you're dealing with an issue in your life, deal with it. And what I mean by deal with it, you get before the Lord and you ask God, how do I deal with this situation with all? Help me with my unforgiveness. If you're dealing with an addiction, talk to somebody. If you're dealing with something that's haven't told nobody, maybe it's a painkiller addiction, but you feel like it's been holding you back, begin to seek God's help. He's going to give you direction. Pray for the right doctors to go to. Change doctors, whatever it takes. Seek prayer, talk to the doctor. Pray over that. Figure out a way to get away from those addictions. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of help out there. Alcohol addiction. Tell you something. If you have to reach for a bottle to ease pressure off your life, you need to pray over that. Because what you're doing, I know there's a lot of folks in the church that don't believe alcohol is wrong, or however your perspective of alcohol. I'm going to tell you this. If you're reaching for a bottle to accomplish a calming or a trying to fix stress, what you were doing is you were telling God you are not good enough. God, you're not good enough to accomplish and give me peace. We got to deal with these problems in the church. See, and I've shared these things before, but see, the church is not a place for us to cover up and try to hide problems. A church is where we come together and we support each other and love each other and help each other out with problems. If you are struggling with a problem, with an addiction that you know you're struggling with, maybe it's a pornography addiction, maybe it's an alcoholic addiction, maybe it's a painkiller addiction, telling you, the church has. And we are here to, the Word of God is here. We're here to help, to deal with it. That's what Joshua did. He dealt with it. So deal with those things that are coming up. God has a race that He has called you on to run. So run. Don't let these things hold you back. Fear, apathy, whatever these things may be that are holding you back. This is what Joshua's like. That's what God was telling Joshua. What are you doing? Stop moaning and groaning. Get up off your feet and deal with it. And that's what Joshua did exactly that. He cut it out. He dealt with it. That's what I like about Joshua. I mean, he wasn't playing around with it. He dealt with it. We got to deal with stuff. We got to learn to deal with stuff. Stop pretending that you're not struggling with things and putting on a churchy smile. We got stuff to do. We got a call of God. I mean, we've got a world out there that needs Jesus. Ain't that the truth, Miss Lydia? Come on. So Joshua takes care of this problem. Okay? All that was a side note to what I'm giving you. Okay? So, I love it. All right, so Joshua takes this, man, and it just ignites passion with everybody. They go back and they conquer Ai. I mean, once they get that sin situation taken care of, they rooted it all out. I take care of it. Man, they went back to a battle and they won victory. And they begin to win victory after victory after victory after victory, eradicating everyone that was standing in their way from taking the land. It's an amazing book. There's so much more to it. But for the sake of time, that's what's happened. Okay? So we got Jericho. Then we got Ai. Ai's victory. Had to kill Achan. Figure out what was holding them back. Had the victory. Victory, 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 victory. And it gets really graphic. So I encourage you. It's a really awesome read. I'm just saying. All right, so here's the thing. So now I want to go back to the end. Go to the very end of Joshua. Joshua 24. I love this. And this one really brought me to Joshua in the first place. It's one of the most common scriptures that we hear. It's on probably every aisle of Hobby Lobby. It's fantastic, okay? Joshua 24, verse 15. It's usually the second half of the 15 that you see everywhere. I'm sure Jennifer has it everywhere on her walls all over the place. She's got her crosses and all kinds of stuff over there. It says, so Joshua, at the end, he's getting close to his time on earth to be over. He's older in age, and he pulls all the people, all the leaders. So several chapters go by, and in those several chapters, he's just divvying out land all over the place, giving these families all the different land. And then he's at the end on 24, 23 and 24, he comes back together, pulls it all together, and gives him this incredible speech out of love. And he says on chapter 15, he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or gods of Amorites in whose land you are living." And this is what Joshua said, and this is what you need this whole book, and you need to hear all this whole thing. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, Bradley, where you at? Bradley, I know you've been hearing me talk about Joshua. Right, and we've got that man. He is a manly man, right? And he had victories. He was violent. He was going after God, right? We heard that, and we heard that when, you know, he was going after the enemy and he failed, and he had to go back and search inside and figure out what was happening and figured it out, got it right, went back, defeated the enemy, then went on to defeat, 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 win, 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 win. And at the end, the scripture he says, "For me and my house will serve the Lord." Got it? Got that part? I know you're sitting back there. Okay, I get all that. What about the bed? Right? Right? Is that what you're thinking? Okay. Hey,
somebody else thinking the same thing. And all you ladies are probably sitting there like, probably being bugged because the bedroom's messy, right? So, I get it. I try to take care of it. Come on. So, here's the thing. You know, Andrew, your sheet is all over the place. Oh, my God. Sorry. Let me just, hang on. I got this. Okay, so I love my bed. This is not my bed. This is Andy. As you can see, it's a little too small for me. So I love my bed. I really do. I love my bed. Can I just tell you about my bed? My bed's incredible. I love my bed. You got there. There's two parts of the day that's the easiest and the hardest. Okay, the best part of the day and then probably the worst part of the day. The best part of the day is in the end of the day, you're getting in your bed and you're like, ugh. The worst part of the day is in the morning when you got to get out. So, the thing is when you, my wife has got me trained, so it's taken some years, but I like my bed made now. I like a nice, clean, made bed. I do. Now, see, in the mornings, I get out of bed first. So, there's this thing that has to, that happens that I have to tread so carefully. 19 years of marriage, I think I got it for the most part. So, you know, so, no, when it just comes to the bed thing, that's it, just making the bed. Everything else I'm still figuring out. All right, so here's the thing. In the mornings, I wake up and I'll get out of bed. And now, you know, a lot of times when you're making your bed, first, try to, you're right, that's a no-no. Don't do that in the mornings, right? Because then I won't have dinner for a couple of days. So the struggle, so I'm like, I got to be really careful on how to do this. Because I like my bed. I want my pillow. I like it. You know, I want it straight. So then I'm like, okay, I can't do that. So I'm going to kind of pull it, right? Pull my side straight. But even then, it's even more dangerous. Because, see, if I pull too hard and them sheets come off her, I'll be texting, hey, what's for dinner? She's like, you finish it yourself for this week. Sorry about you. I'm for real. But I like my bed. Just like, okay, now everybody in this room has a bed, right? Everybody has their own bed. You know, there's a saying that is out there, how you make your bed is how you lay in it. And that is so much truth in our lives. You make your bed and you can lay in it. Joshua is saying that exact thing at this end of this chapter. Verse 20, chapter 23, Joshua lays out this incredible thing to these Israelites. He says, listen, God has done this. God has provided. God has helped us conquer. He has been with us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's given us courage. He's given us miracles. He stopped the Jordan River. He tore down the walls of Jericho. He gave us victory after victory. He gave us all this land. He's done this. He's done the miracles. God has done all this. You've seen it with your own eyes. You felt it. That's what Joshua was telling you. He said, listen, this God's done amazing things and you felt it. Here's the thing. It's your choice. It's your choice. To serve the gods of your ancestors. Serve the God of marriage and my wife, we're going to serve the Lord. As far as me and my kids, we're going to serve the Lord. Bless God, my kids are coming to church. I want them to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. For me and my house, every area, we're going to serve the Lord. Sometimes I may not make it perfect. It may be a little wrinkled. But I'm going to sure come in here every single morning and do my best to make it. Because however I make this bed, exactly how I'm going to lay in it. I want my bed, the doors to show the and reflect the glory of God. I want my bed to be peaceful. See, I want my bed 5 years from now, when I look back at how I've made my bed for the last 5 years, I want to know that I've ran the race that God set before me. I want to know that when I lay down in my head on this pillow at night, that I have peace. I know that I've ran the race that you've called me to. I want to know 10 years from now that I've done everything I can for my children. 20 years from now, when my last one will finally leave. I want to know that those arrows that God has entrusted me with, come on, listen to me, parents watching online, God has entrusted you with arrows. Make your bed. Make your bed. Line your life up with this word. Teach your children. Show them what a godly man looks like. Show them what a godly woman looks like. Be on your phone a little bit, fine, but get on the floor and play with your kids. Let them see you have the Word of God open, not your phone. They don't see you on the phone. They don't see you even if you're reading your Bible on your phone. They don't see that. They see you on Facebook. I've preached that so much. Because your kids ain't seeing you on the Bible. They're seeing you on your phone. Lead by example. Make your bed. Make that bed. Because how you make that bed is exactly how you're going to be laying there. And so Joshua leads all these leaders. At the end, he says, listen, you've seen God move. You've seen God do. You've seen the miracles. At the end of the day, it's your choice. How are you going to make the bed? As for me and my house, we're going to serve them. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Lord, we are in love with you, God. Father, we want to run the race that you called us to do. Lord, I know you've got open doors for this year for us. And I want to run through every single door, God, that you have for me, that you have for my family. God, I know I'm not perfect. I don't make my bed the best every day, but Lord, I want to try. And I want to strive for it, God. God, because at the end of the day, lay in my bed and know that I did everything I could to run the race that you set before me. I want to know everything I did everything I could for my kids. I know at the end of the day, God, as they grow, it's their choice to serve you or not, do what they're make their own bed. God, right now, why I have them in my house, while they're in my quiver, Father, they're my arrows. I want to lead them, Father, and guide them. For me and my house, we're going to serve you. For me and my house, we're going to serve you. So, Father, I pray this, as this is Joshua. As you prayed, as you told Joshua, what are you doing? Lord, I think that's all of us. We start getting wandering around. What are you doing? Get our attention, Father. You didn't call us to wander around. You called us to fight a fight and run the race. want to do that. But reveal to us. Show us sin. If there's sin in our lives, show it to us. Reveal to us. And begin to show us how to get it out. Deal with it, Father. Open up those closets. Revealing those skeletons. So healing can begin. Thank you, Father. Any fear that's been holding anyone back, Father, show us. You didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a love and sound mind. Show us those scriptures, God. Reveal to us your truth, God. I don't want to waste the day. I don't want to waste a day wallowing around. I want to get up and run your race that you called us to be and do what you called us to go and share the gospel. Be the light to our families. Be the husband, be the father, be the grandparent, be the grandmother. To our families. Show you, Lord. Reflect you, Father. Lord, I pray as we close out this service that you would lay on everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. Remind them, Father, of this message. Remind them of your word. You make their bed. Line it up with your word, Father. However they make it, whether it's pursuing the world or pursuing you, that's how they're going to land. An answer for everything. An answer how we raise our kids. An answer for all that. God, at the end of the day, my heart's desire, Father, my goal, my passion, when I get before you, you say, well done. Be with us as we leave today. And I thank you for guiding us, protecting us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you want prayer, I'll be happy to pray with you. Or remind you, we got bread in the back. Come on, that's some good stuff, so make sure you get that. I got you some cherry. All right? There's bread in the back. Get you some. Man, bless you this week.